This is Spokane Public Radio, outside our studio, about 14 degrees. Tonight, there is an opening reception in Coeur d'Alene at the Art Spirit Gallery. Has some predictable aspects and some unique aspects. We're going to cover this in several ways, beginning with the report from our own Tom Bacon.
One More Time is the title for Blaise's new show at the Art Spirit Gallery in Coeur d'Alene. It's taken from Blaise's agreement to do a show one more time. But gallery owner Steve Gibbs, who died New Year's Eve, had gently scoffed at the phrase, noting that Blaise had said the same thing every year for the past 5 years. Blaine Williams, an Art Spirit curator, said the new show opening Friday and running through February 4th features Blaise's work from the past 6 decades. More than 190 pieces have been assembled, including enamels, drawings, mixed media assemblies, and paintings. This Saturday at noon, a panel of 4 artists who have been influenced by his work will join Blaise to talk about his long career and his sometimes whimsical, always unusual approach to making art. Williams said PBS station KSPS will be on hand to do a story about Blaise for the program Northwest Profiles. Blaise's work can be found in cities and parks and churches and synagogues all over the country. Some of his most famous pieces are in Spokane's Riverfront Park. Blaise has no high-flown philosophy about his work. As he put it simply, "I make stuff because it's better than not making stuff." I'm Tom Bacon.
And our thanks to Tom Bacon, whom, as you noticed, mentioned the sardonic idea of one more time. And 2 years ago, when there was a Harold Blaise One More Time show, I spent time with Harold Blaise as well as the late Steve Gibbs. And we'll hear bits of that interview now. First to Harold, in which he traces some of his history from the prosaic to the personal.
I know people who won't sell anything, and I was advised by a curator once that, you know, your blue period, your green period, or whatever you want to call it, that you could save one piece of that. Well, if I did that, I'd have starved. I'm like J.C. Penney. If you got it on the shelf, get it going. Get it out of here. We got art to sell, man.
Well, let's talk about your blue period and your green period or whatever, as it were, because since you've gone back and found these things, like you say, that fell behind the bench and things like that, what do you think about the stuff you did? What are some of the emotions that come along when you see this stuff again?
Well, mostly I'm sort of pleased with myself. Mm-hmm. I find it very hard to be honest about that because, matter of fact, is I'm selling some stuff that is average, mm-hmm. you know, but I think everybody does that, you know. But I really was surprised. I did a period where I injured myself, and during the year and a half it took me to get back to being able to do heavy work, I did a lot of landscapes and floral things and sitting in my garden painting mm-hmm. cabbages.
Yeah, your famous cabbage period.
Yeah, that's, mm-hmm. In fact, I've got a little thing on my wall that says, "May death find me planting my cabbages." I kind of like that idea.
And so let's talk a little bit more about the utter range of your mediums, because is there a medium you haven't done?
Yeah. Well, Ken Spearing and I talk about this a lot because we live in this is a small town. And if I look at Steve Adams, and dear friend and everything, and
glassblower.
He's blown glass his whole life. And I'd go crazy if that's mm-hmm. all I did. And I think there are people like myself, Ken, and who in a small town like this, you can't specialize on just one thing. I did a workshop up in Alaska, and this lady come up, and we were in North Pole, which isn't the North Pole, it's mm-hmm. just North
name of the town.
And she says, "I've been here 4 years now, and I've sold one of my works to everybody in town, which is 40 people." And says, what do I do now? I says, well, either move away or start painting in another medium or idiom. You know, there's only so many people going to buy your stuff. And when he tells me that he sold 800, or that he's got 800 pictures in his place, I can't believe that. So I think you have to be... multitasking, as they call it. You might be starting a sketch for a new commission, got another one, and you're just in the starting, and another one you're installing. You have to have four or five things going at once.
Do you think of a medium or two or three that's fun to work in? I mean, is it fun to get messy clay on your fingers or something for the sheer fun of creating?
The act of making something is more important than the product you got. The real value of art is the making of it. It's just... I go crazy if I don't that.
And so
you nailed me. It's hard for me to talk about that. I tend not to take myself too seriously, but and part of what I became was I worked a lot with architects, and probably in the middle of my career, or whatever you say, is. Architectural commissions are working in, making doors, anything. And I was working on a synagogue in Tacoma years ago. And Drex Atkinson, Tom Atkinson's son, was helping me work during that time. And we had a particularly difficult time installing this. And it was at night and poorly lit because the building was still under construction, and there was a lot of cursing and swearing and blah, blah, blah. And finally, about midnight, we come down off the scaffolding, and here were probably 20 or 30 people sitting out there that had been watching us the whole while, and we never knew it. And they were all crying. And they were people who had survived the Holocaust, and it was their money that was building this synagogue. And once you realize that you have the capacity to touch people's lives that way, it's a pretty sacred thing, and you don't want to mess with it. So I have this deeply serious part of me where I really try to get into the project when it's people were going to regard it that highly, and I, and the rest of it is, I'm a clown, and I laugh because it's too hard to cry.
Harold Blaze, in his description, his self-description from 2 years ago, and that was from a larger discussion with Harold and the Art Spirit Gallery founder, Steve Gibbs, whom about 6 months ago was diagnosed with ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, and he died on December 31st. But let's hear a piece of that interview in which he talks about not only his gallery, but its place in a larger Coeur d'Alene art scene. A little bit about art and Coeur d'Alene and even the trajectory of your gallery. How long have you had it open?
Well, I started the gallery 18 years ago, I guess in January here, so we're almost a full 18 years. It was originally in a small house farther up Sherman, and it was with John and Kathy Pham, who owned that house, and I was switching from being a commercial artist to learning to my own chops as a fine artist and studying with John when they brought up the idea that we're going to move back into this house, and how'd you like to turn the main floor into a gallery for a while? Well, 18 years later, I'm still at it, and happy I did. We moved downtown to our current location, bought that building and renovated it in 2002, And we have tried to continue to do monthly changing shows in the gallery. And then along with that, started organizing the other galleries. And originally it was just a rack card of the galleries in town, and then turned it into the Art Walk, and we started the Arts and Culture Alliance, which would allow us to get grants and be an umbrella group for the various arts entities within town. And I think that it has continued on to strengthen, and we have about 10 galleries downtown, all within a walking distance that you can park once, see a good variety of original art, and the community gathering and showing at those, I think, helps bring young kids up into the arts. It brings people that might not normally go into galleries downtown and lets them meet the artists. And I think we have a very vibrant mm-hmm. visual art scene going on.
When you say, I think, have you observed that? Do you see that over 18 years? Can you feel some success that there's people that have sneaked it, happened in once and been changed by it?
I think we get quite a bit of that. Yeah, I would say at most of our openings, we have in the neighborhood of maybe 300 to 500 people that come down, and they get to meet the artists. A lot of times people will come in their first time and just kind of observe and see what's going on. The next time in, they bring a friend and they meet the artist and start talking about it a little bit more. And third or fourth time in, they might start to buy. But it's built around that community of making people comfortable within the environment to see the art and introducing them to the great artists that we have that live in the area. Our main focus in the Art Spirit Gallery, at least, is on artists within the region. Of the commission checks we've sent out to artists, and we try to employ artists around here. We've written checks, I think, of about $2.9 million in the last dozen years to the artists. 80% of them have been within 50 miles. So that's our focus, is to try to spread that word on the local artists.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit more. I mean, we obviously alluded just now to the customers, the clients, the people that come in, but talk about the range of artists and some of the, go ahead and be unfair and don't try to be complete, but some of the fun discoveries you've made of interesting artists in the course of doing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always been great to show the artists that have already achieved a pretty strong following before we ever hit the map at all.
As in Harold Blaze.
Harold Blaze, yes. Mel McCudden and, you know, Kay O'Rourke and Gina Fruin. And a lot of those artists have been around for a long time and done fine work, Del Gish and so on. But we also do get to discover some new ones. A couple of the real exciting artists that I caught, I used to do an annual clay invitational. Dick Bader from Quarry Tile would sponsor it. And the Archie Bray Foundation for the Clay Arts out of Helena will bring in interns for, say, 2 years or residents. And a couple of the residents that I picked up there that later moved out this direction were Beth Kavner-Stichter and Chris Andaman. And we were able to help launch them, and they have taken off in the clay world. I was just at Chris Andaman's featured museum show at the Portland Art Museum about a month and a half ago. And the nice part about it was she came up to me and said, hey, I'm not under exclusive contract anymore. I want back in the gallery. So we're excited to have her there. And then Beth moved out here and was down in Garfield for a number of years and has just fairly recently relocated to Helena. But both those two artists are doing primarily major museum shows and making national and international headlines and what they're doing. So we do manage to catch some of that. And then we get people like the Dodges that live in town. Alan and Mary D have been there for 40 years doing a lot of different things, but they've really been pushing into their fine art over the last 8 to 10 years, and we're excited to be able to help them do that too.
Steve Gibbs, 2 years ago in an interview, the founder of the Art Spirit Gallery, so when he alluded to 18 years ago, it's now 20 years ago that that gallery was founded, and the many other initiatives of art in Coeur d'Alene. That includes the fact that this is the second Friday. It's therefore the second Friday Art Walk in all of the galleries of Coeur d'Alene. And also, this last fall, we spent time with Steve. He came in after he had been diagnosed with ALS, along with an official from the college, and described the process that has been put into place to guarantee the continuation of this art initiative in many forms in Coeur d'Alene. The specific things, from 5 to 8 tonight at all the galleries of Coeur d'Alene, is the second Friday Art Walk at the Art Spirit Gallery from 5 to 8 with the Harold Blaze opening reception. Then Harold will be there at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon along with four of his artist colleagues to do an overview. Again, my thanks earlier to Tom Bacon, and a pleasure to hear the archival material from Harold Blaze and Steve Gibbs.